No, sorry. Had to go down to the mini market for Grandad. Shaz's parents were on a long visit to Pakistan and he was staying with his Grandad. Has anything been decided yet? About the weekend, I mean.
Yep,
said Raider. It has not, you balmy mutt, growled Mickey. And you can get those elbows off the table.
Something's happened, Shaz, said Jillo. Something serious. It sort of put us off discussing the weekend.
Shaz looked at her.
What is it?
A kid's gone missing. A 5-year-old girl. It was on the 6 o'clock news.
You mean here, in Lenton?
Yeah, me and Titch heard it on local roundup. They think she either wandered off or was taken from outside the infants.
When?
Today, after school. We thought we'd help look for her when you arrived.
Sorry, said Shaz again. If I'd known.
Doesn't matter, put in Mickey. What matters is getting down there and lending a hand before dark. He pulled a face.
You never know. We might look in places no one's thought of, and Raider's nose could come in handy as well.
The children needed no further prompting. Chairs scraped back, jackets were snatched from the hook behind the door. Raider fetched his leash. In 10 seconds, the hut was locked and empty. The outfit was in action once again. Chapter 3. Motormouth. They knew Weeping Wood best because the girl's father owned it. Mickey's caravan stood in Weeping Wood too, so that's where they went. There were 9 police officers and lots of villagers. A sergeant was getting them into a straight line. He looked at the children. Come to help, have you? Good, join the end of this line then. When the line was complete, the sergeant gave the order to move forward. Everybody had to go at the same slow pace, scanning the ground for anything which might be a clue. They waded through thickets and across clearings, looking and listening. Birds fled, twittering at their approach. A rabbit burst from a tussock and went scuttering away with Raider in hot pursuit. They saw a vole, a stoat and 2 squirrels, but no little girl. The man on Mickey's right was hot. He had a big red handkerchief, and as he walked, he kept mopping his forehead with it, muttering to himself all the time. Presently he said, "Wasting our time, if you ask me." Mickey glanced at him.
"What do you mean?"
"Well, it's obvious, isn't it? That tramp's got her, you know, the funny fella. Forever shouting at the kids, he is. They should grab him before he does a bunk instead of tramping about in the woods."
Mickey was about to protest when the next person in line, a woman he'd seen around the village, broke in.
"I reckon you're right, George. First thing I thought of when I heard, it's him, I says to myself, the funny fella. There's got to be something not quite right about a man who lives in a boiler."
Mickey shook his head.
"He wouldn't hurt a kid, old Bill. He's not like that."
The man called George scoffed.
"How do you know? Friend of his, are you?"
"Yes," said Mickey. "As a matter of fact, I am, and I'm telling you he's harmless. Unusual, but harmless. He wouldn't hurt a fly." "It's not a fly that's missing," the woman snapped.
She looked at Mickey.
"Aren't you the kid who lives alone in a caravan somewhere around here?"
"I live in a caravan, but not alone. My dad's there part of the time."
"Ah!"
George nodded.
"Caravan, eh? That explains it."
"What does it explain?" cried Mickey.
The man smiled tightly.
"Why, you stick up for the tramp, of course. Caravan, boiler. Misfits, the pair of you. There ought to be a law."
Mickey made no reply. He was seething, but he didn't know what to say, so he shook his head and ploughed on. And presently the line reached the end of the wood without finding anything.
"Told you," grunted George, as the sergeant called his officers together, leaving the villagers to straggle back to Lenton. "Waste of time. Tramp's probably 50 miles away by now."
"It's not Bill, I tell you,"
grated Mickey. "He's not a criminal and he's not a tramp either. He doesn't move around. He lives in Lenton.
And he works.
He's a villager, same as you and me."
"You?" George laughed harshly. "You're not a villager, kid. You're a flipping gypsy or tinker or something. You ought to hitch a horse to that caravan of yours and move on, if you ask me."
"I don't ask you," snarled Mickey, "so you can keep your twisted opinions to yourself."
"What's up?" asked Jillo. The line had disintegrated. Shaz and Titch joined them. Mickey shook his head.
"It's nothing. Some motormouth sounding off, that's all."
He turned away.
"Raider, come here, boy."
The lurcher trotted to him, tongue lolling. "Okay, folks, let's go." They turned and walked back into the wood, leaving George and the woman to gaze after them. Chapter 4. A List of Places We Know.
"There's loads of other places to look," said Titch, when they were back at HQ.
Jillo nodded.
"Yes, Titch, but it's nearly dark. The most useful thing we can do tonight is make a list of places we know and search them tomorrow after school."
"Givenham Keep," said Titch. "That's a creepy enough place. Put it at the top of the list."
"Givenham Keep's a convent now, Titch," laughed Mickey. "It's the least likely..."